Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Getting ready for the Mike Tomlin news conference, which means our mannequin friend Bob, his mannequin in the seat across from me, is over there on the south side getting everything ready. And it'll happen any second here, Limits.
He's in a great orange quarter zip today. It's like orange. Very bright orange.
Wow. Thank goodness they're not playing the Browns. Everybody would be mad at him over there.
Yeah, they would.
I bet we get a Mr. Jackson today for Lamar, do you think?
I agree. And probably a Mr. Henry.
And Donnie just suggested back there that Joe Flacco might be the quarterback next season. I wouldn't be surprised at that either, given Tomlin's deep affection for him, although I don't think he'll announce that today.
Here's the coach.
As always, man, I'll start with a quick assessment of the last performance. And unfortunately, you know, the tape didn't show anything dramatically different than what we saw in stadium. We played 30 minutes of acceptable football, and then, you know, we didn't do what we needed to do in the third quarter and in any of the phases of play. And certainly that put us behind the gun, and we were running uphill from there. I think frustration became a component of it, which is a natural thing. We got a lot of guys that work extremely hard and put a lot into prep. And, you know, we want to win. We want to do what's required to win, but we didn't necessarily express that want to appropriately. And so we kind of talked about that some yesterday as a collective. You know, I own the responsibility of making sure that these guys understand a component of being a tough team to beat is not beating ourselves. We had some penalties, and certainly you're going to have penalties when you play. But penalties of the 15-yard variety, loss of composure and things of that nature hadn't been us. And so that needs to be corrected immediately. We talked about that. And when it's from some of our guys like captains and so forth, guys that represent us at the coin toss, it certainly merits discussion and analysis. And so we went through that, and we look forward to moving on from that. Now, a component of moving on from that is executing better. You know, when you execute better, you make more plays, frustration becomes less of an issue. And so certainly first and foremost, as we lean in on this week, man, our focus is performing at a higher level, doing a better job strategically, doing a better job of dividing the labor up, and then ultimately letting that lead to doing a better job of play. Really, you know, there's a rhythm to it in recent weeks, particularly in Chicago and last week. And, you know, but it doesn't make it any easier, obviously, to identify and move on from. Certainly, you know, when you have a lead at halftime and you're getting the ball to come out to start the second half, there's generally a good feel there. But we haven't done enough with the football to start second halves, and certainly we haven't done enough to defend the grass once we've turned the ball over. And so that could be descriptive of how things unfolded in Chicago, and it certainly is a description of how things unfolded last week. And so, you know, we talk about it, we learn from it, but equally as important, we roll our sleeves up and go to work. How do you get that synergy? How do you get the confidence? How do you get the cohesion required to win You tighten up your plan. You delve into things that you've spent more time in than things that you hadn't. You make sure that guys are in position to work in a coordinated fashion in all three phases. And so we're making some very, you know, pointed decisions as we lay the foundation for this plan this week. But I imagine Baltimore is doing similar things. We both sit at 6-6. Both of those positions come with some scars, certainly, but they need to come with some lessons learned as well. And I think the team that displays the ability to apply those lessons best is going to be the team that's going to be in position to control this game and thus be in control of the North. And before I get specifically into Baltimore and talking about their personnel and so forth, just let me say this, man. I really enjoy the structure that is today's NFL scheduling. The excitement associated around these division games, the weight on them, not only for us in Baltimore, but just globally speaking. We felt it a year ago. We had some big games against them in the latter part of the year as well. I think it's good for football. It's good for our fan base. It's good for their fan base. It's an honor to be a part of it. And certainly it provides an edge for us, man, an urgency for us as we prepare. We've been in hotly contested battles with this group in the past, and I see no reason why this weekend won't be the same. There's certainly a lot at stake. From an injury perspective, I'll cover a few things. Derek Harmon can be characterized as out again this week with his knee injury. Everyone else could be characterized as questionable, and when I characterize people as questionable, oftentimes it means limited participation at the early part of the week, and then increased participation as the week goes on, and the quality and quantity of that participation being our guide toward availability. The guys that fall into that category, Patrick Queen with his glute injury, and some other guys with some bumps and bruises associated with play. James Pierre is in the concussion protocol, and I never really try to provide too much color regarding that. The medical experts make that determination, but he's in the protocol and could be listed as questionable as we sit here today. And I'd imagine we got some other guys that lack availability associated with bumps and bruises associated with play this time of year that could be limited at the top part of the week. But we expect those guys to pick up as the week goes on. And you can characterize Aaron Rodgers within that group as well. Now on to Baltimore. As I mentioned earlier, man, they're familiar with us. We're familiar with them. It creates excitement. It creates excitement around the strategic planning. It's fun to, you know, to have knowledge of this group, but watch how they've evolved over the course of the journey. And we all evolve for a variety of reasons. The elevation of individual players, the emergence of individual players, the attrition component of the game as you miss people and adapt schematically and from a divisional labor standpoint to make up for that. The return of players and that impact that it has. For instance, you know, on offense, I'll start with Baltimore's offense. At the early portions of the year, they were without Rashard and Likely, two major components, if you're familiar with Baltimore, that play major roles in how they function. Likely is an awesome second tight end to partner with Andrews. They play a lot out of two tight end personnel groups, and they're able to get a lot done in the running game and in the passing game. And I think you feel with each passing week the impact of his return and presence, and certainly the same thing with Rashard, man. We've dealt with him over the years, man. You get that guy on the field in front of Derrick Henry, man, you got an all-day job ahead of you in terms of minimizing what they're capable of in the running game. And certainly as we lean in on this week, that's where our attentions lie from a defensive perspective. No disrespect to their passing game, and certainly they got a lot of capable guys there, but we're talking about a legendary runner of this generation in Derrick Henry. We're talking about some schematics and some personnel that really highlight that agenda, coupled with our present state coming off the type of performance that we just came off of regarding the run. I believe that focus is justified and appropriate. But they do have some dangerous people on the perimeter. I like their division of labor from a receiver standpoint. Zay Flowers obviously is a dangerous receiver. He's good after the catch. He's got make you miss. He's elusive. Bateman, and D are veteran guys that know what it is that they're doing. D-Hop, you can't say enough about him in terms of some 50-50 ball matchups and the things that he provides them from a one-on-one perspective. As I mentioned, the tight ends, when I was talking about the running game, Mark Andrews, man, him and Lamar have been, you know, partners in this thing since they got drafted in the same draft class. I think he's Baltimore's all-time leading receiving touchdown guy. He's certainly still a major component of what they do in the red area. I think he's got five or so touchdowns this year. But the ball goes to and through Lamar. His ability to extend and make plays, his ability to run, particularly in situational moments, is and always has been a challenge. We failed some at that challenge a week ago against Josh Allen. And so for those reasons, man, we're really working with an edge in preparation for this one. Certainly we have a lot of experience in defending them and going against them, but I'm sure they say similar things regarding us. And so with that understanding, we proceed. On the defensive side of the ball, they really did some things to stabilize themselves kind of at the trade deadline. A couple quality acquisitions, one at the safety spot and one at the edge spot to round out some areas where they were really thin. The safety acquisition has really allowed Kyle Hamilton to do what Kyle Hamilton does, which is to play big nickel on first and second down and play around the line of scrimmage and blitz and defend the run and set edges. You get in sub-packet situations and more passing circumstances on third down. He essentially plays a dime linebacker spot, and you have to deal with he and Roquan, and they're both formidable, certainly. They're very good underneath defenders and blitzers. And they've got really good schematics that highlight those talents. Another versatile guy, obviously worth mentioning, is Marlon Humphreys, man. He plays outside when Kyle Hamilton plays nickel. When Kyle Hamilton moves to dime linebacker, he plays inside. He's a very versatile guy, man. He's the poster boy for their turnover culture. I think he's got 17 career forced fumbles and counting now. And so ball security is going to be a major component of it. We got to be really fundamentally sound there. Again, he leads that charge. But again, wouldn't be remiss if I didn't mention Malachi Starks, man, their first rounder. He's a center fielder, man, and is doing a really good job patrolling that area of the field. And particularly of late, as I mentioned, with that acquisition, and they're able to solidify some divisional labor. He's been a mainstay in the middle of the field for him and doing a nice job of solidifying that space. You see growth and development in Nate Wiggins in year two. I think he's playing really good football. He's a tough cover man. I know he went out of the last football game, but as we sit here and prepare today, we certainly anticipate seeing him in a matchup like this and ready to deal with his talents. They do a lot of things up front, man. They use a variety of packages and personnel groups. They've had some attrition up front in their defensive line and edge people, and so they get into some dime 41. They also get into some dime 32. Young drafty out of Clemson, Simpson, is versatile. You'll see him in some dime 32. He'll rush off the edge. He'll act as a hover rusher at times in a hybrid four-man rush. He drops some. It gives them really good schematic variation. You got he and Roquan and Kyle Hamilton down around the box. Some guys blitz, some guys cover. They do a nice job week in and week out of kind of changing those things up. And then certainly when we play these guys, man, special teams is always a major component of how games unfold. They're a really good special teams unit. It's a value system of theirs. Certainly it's a value system of ours. We'll be fighting for every blade of grass in all three phases. And oftentimes they come in more chunks in this phase because of the vertical and horizontal grass associated with these plays. And so, man, we got to be really good in that space. Our return games got to provide a leg up for us. Our coverage game has got to be excellent, and certainly our specialists have to be on it. Excited about the prep in terms of what lies ahead with us this week. Excited about getting in front of our guys, starting tomorrow morning, man, and laying out a plan and working that plan and taking it to Baltimore, AFC North football with a division lead online. I'll pause and open up for questions.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike, when you talk about the frustration, where do you see it manifested? In their play, in their body language, in their behavior? What?
In a little bit of both, really, in all areas. And certainly, I never want people to apologize for caring. And I viewed the frustration displayed last week in that way. Guys were in fight mode. They care. The game wasn't unfolding the way that we desire. They didn't necessarily express it appropriately. And so as a leader, it's about redirecting that and making sure it's channeled in the right ways. But also, how do we move on from that? The source of that frustration is not playing the way that we would like to play. And so certainly putting together a good plan and putting them in position to play well is a component of moving on from it.
Mike, what did you learn from the captains in talking to them and what they feel like needs to change?
You know, we have a lot of discussions week in and week out. I usually generally leave those discussions between us. But certainly I'm open to insight from those guys and assistance from those guys. A lot of those guys have been around a lot of football. And, you know, when you're in the position that I'm in, you don't care where good advice comes from. You don't care where good ideas come from. That's just the spirit in which I move and have moved for a very long time. I think the longer you're in this business, you understand that. You know, forget authorship or ownership. It's about being right and being ready. And so, man, certainly those opinions are valued.
Like you said after the game on Sunday that the answers were in the building. But a lot of the issues that you guys had on Sunday have been the issues all season. Why have the answers to those issues been so elusive?
Because those same ingredients have produced 6 wins as well as 6 losses. And so, you know, it's about how we cook it this week.
Like one of the things that Aaron mentioned after the game was that he felt like practice wasn't good last week, and that's kind of been a common theme. Is there something that needs to change with practice, or is that feedback that he's given you that you can take into account?
I'm open to doing whatever it is that we need to do, obviously, in the effort to make practice better. Sometimes practice gets challenging, particularly at the early portions of the week this time of year, because of lack of significant player availability, and certainly felt that last week, not making that as an excuse. That's just the reality of our business. I'm sure people that we compete against miss significant players as well. How we navigate that oftentimes during the week is, you know, an example of how we might navigate it during the course of the weekend. And certainly last week, based on the results, were not good enough. and particularly from a defensive perspective, when we lost Patrick Queen, we didn't do a good enough job of managing that component of it.
You also mentioned that he thought maybe the cold weather was impacting the quality of practice. Do you consider moving more practices inside?
You know, we generally play outside, and so if the surface is safe, I like to practice in the environment that we play in. But if you lose productivity because of the windage, et cetera, those are just general decisions that you make that's best appropriate for the group. In spirit, you like the group to practice in the environment that they play in, but if it's counterproductive, if it's survival, then certainly you make adaptation.
When you guys have the run fit problem that you guys had Sunday, and you're going up against another big run opponent, where's the line between focusing on the minutia and the smaller details versus maybe looking at a more global approach from a coaching standpoint, how to fix those problems?
I think you approach it from both perspectives. I think you got to put a lot of lines in the water. Certainly, we're looking at strategic global things from a strategy or schematic standpoint. But we're also looking at the division of labor and the positions that we put players in, how we adjust and adapt and communicate, particularly when that gets strained due to player availability or lack thereof. And so some of those things and all of those things are a component of the decision-making process.
Harmon's health in that regard.
TJ Watt was pretty frustrated that they seemed to run the same play or similar concept over and over with success. Where were the shortcomings in that particular play or that situation?
It was really good execution by them. Oftentimes it was a final look, but there were pre-snap movement and changes of offensive personnel that disguised it. And so sometimes a play would hit in a particular space, but they would change offensive personnel, requiring us to change defensive personnel, and the person might be different the second time. And so that's just a strategic component of football, man. They did an awesome job. I don't want to take anything away from them, and we certainly have to be better.
Aside from Harmon's health, which has been a variable, and you mentioned you're open, it will be again this week with his injury. Why have you found that the run game has been at times very good on defense against like Chicago and Jonathan Taylor? And why has it struggled as mightily as it has in other weeks?
You know, I think, you know, you'd have to look at each one of those things individually, the plans, the players available to us, the schematics of those that we compete against. I think that's the challenge and the beautiful thing about this league is that week in and week out, man, you start anew. There's certainly, particularly at this point of the year, some evidence of who you are and evidence of who your opponents are. But from a strategy standpoint, you better start at ground zero. You better build, and that's what we're in the process of doing today and this week, in an effort to put out a better performance this week.
You talked about trying to learn some things off of last week with the way Allen ran as opposed to getting Lamar this week. Is there a transferable thing there in the way they approach it with those two quarterbacks?
It certainly is, but they're certainly very different guys. They both have designed quarterback runs as a component of their attack. Lamar is more on the perimeter because of his talents, his elusiveness, his speed. Josh Allen is more downhill because of his talents. He's big, he's strong, he's competitive and combative. But either way you slice it, it's 11-on-11 football. Certainly, they have different approaches to that 11-on-11 football. The differences in the backs have a lot to do with it. Excuse me, Cook is elusive and perimeter capable and things of that nature. And certainly, although Derek has great speed and when he gets into the secondary, he's a problem. You really want to work hard to minimize his downhill because, man, when he gets downhill on you, you really feel it. That's when he starts bumper carring and bouncing off of people, and you want to eliminate that component of his game. And so there certainly are some similarities, but there certainly are some dramatic differences as well. We'll lean on the similarities. We have experience against competing against Baltimore, and so we certainly understand the differences.
Mike, the way Baltimore ran against you last year in December, did you learn anything what not to do to try to defend that?
Certainly.
Such as?
You know, just how you play apex players, the guys that are halfway between the core, the defense, and the perimeter, some of the things you do around secondary rotation and so forth. I think anytime you play, there's an educational process. I think one of the first things that we do on Monday morning or Sunday night, most of the time for me is Sunday, is jot down some just quick initial notes while it's fresh to capture that learning the adaptation that happens in game, the adjustments, the conversations had formally and informally. I think it's just good business and protocol to formally document that, to collect it and store it, because certainly if you've been in this business any length of time, you know you double back to it sooner, probably more so than later.
When you're having trouble generating offense, you know, why does it make sense to have Pat Freiermuth on the bench?
You know, we got a bunch of guys that are capable. I think we've been through some of these discussions before. We got a lot of capable guys that we have a lot of confidence in. Pat is certainly one of them. Ball didn't bounce his way a week ago, but certainly he's a viable option for us and one that's strongly considered as we work this week.
Mike, you talk a lot about frustration, and you have said you understand the fans' frustration. What is it like for you personally when they're calling for you to go?
You know, in general, I agree with them. From this perspective, football is our game. We're in the sport entertainment business. And so if you root for the Steelers, entertaining them is winning. And so when you're not winning, it's not entertaining. And if you've been in this business, you understand that. And so I respect it. I share frustrations. I understand what makes this thing go. And winning is what makes this thing go.
Like, will you make any adjustments to the responsibilities of your coaching staff?
Not anything that merits discussion in this setting, no.
Mike, during the draft and free agency, you talked about wanting to be more physical across the board. How do you feel like your team is kind of fulfilling or not fulfilling that goal?
You know, as we stand here today, based on the last performance, not so good. But certainly at different times in this journey, I felt really good about it. And so I think that could describe a lot of conversations, as I mentioned earlier, when you're sitting at 6-6. For us, it's about absorbing that and understanding that and plotting a course to move forward, but also understanding that the things that happen to us are not vacuum related. It's happening to those that we compete against as well. I'd imagine Baltimore's got similar challenges and issues because they sit at 6-6 as well. And so the team that can manage those things and summons up the good in a more really consistent way is the team that's going to have a chance to control this game this weekend.
Two things about Aaron. Just first of all, simply, how did his wrist come out of that game? How did he respond to playing a full game? And then secondly, did you see anything during the game that was cause for alarm that you need to see get better in practice in terms of the ball handling duties, things like that, before you feel better about what you can do offensively this week?
You know, I feel good about what we can do offensively. I don't think that we're limited in any way. Certainly, we're going to do some things a little bit different to accommodate present circumstances. Like, we worked almost exclusively out of gun or pistol a week ago to minimize some of that. It'll probably be less of a discussion this week. We'll see as the week wears on. And certainly, I think he came out of the game, at least physically, from a wrist injury perspective, in a good place.
Coach, you mentioned frustrations. I want to talk about the players' perspective. Would you prefer them flush those frustrations and that kind of passion here and get back to practice and just move on, or carry that and use that as a tool throughout the week?
Both.
Mike, where do you hang your hat as a coach when you look at the problems in the run offense game? You guys couldn't get that going against a Bills team that largely struggled against the run.
You know, we got to roll our sleeves up and go back to work, man. Our process for us is a thing for me. You know, oftentimes I get asked, I think, Brooke, you always ask, what gives you confidence? You know, and sometimes I answer it in a colorful way, but it's what we do. It's no different than what you guys do. You guys might write a bad article or a couple of bad articles. Does it lessen your confidence in your ability to write articles the next time? I imagine it doesn't, because you've been doing it all your adult lives. And it's the same for us as individuals or a collective in this business. Certainly our last performance wasn't up to snuff, but I don't know that it lessens our belief in self or our ability to deliver individually and collectively moving forward.
At the same time, though, does it force you to reevaluate the way you go about your job? And
does it make you when you write a bad article?
I got more confidence than you, which is
certainly it does, because if you got a desire to be great, you better analyze things in a really critical way. You know what I mean? And I think that's what you're asking. And certainly, if winning is our agenda, and it is, we're not going to be hypersensitive to that.
But when you have a stretch where you guys have not played really consistent football for going on 2 months,
Do you accentuate the bad, or do you say, when I asked you earlier about sort of where you're at, you said, well, these answers also produced 6 wins. So do you have to remind these guys, hey, we played good football?
I think it depends on the situation, what topic is being discussed and who you're dealing with. I think at times you utilize both.
So how do you channel that confidence, Mike? Is it more about we are confident that we can come up with different ways to, as you often say, skin the cat? Or is it more about confidence that we just need to do what we do better?
It's both. I think that, I think if you're in one lane exclusively, you're not providing enough irons in the fire to produce victory.
How much have you changed your approach during the season this year?
As compared to what
you normally do. When you say, when we write bad articles, what do we do? Well, sometimes I transcribe differently.
I think the tools that available oftentimes dictate the change. And so certainly this week's plan is going to be different than last week's plan. The opponent is different. The players available to us, anticipated available to us, may be different. And so that's what I mean when I ask, how do you change? Because you change because of necessity. You change because of the challenges of different week in and week out. The materials available to you, whether it's manpower or what have you, change based on player availability and so forth. Conditions change. The environmental component of the game changes. Certainly, we're going to be in Baltimore, Maryland, and so that creates a hostile environment on possession downs for our offense, for example. And so you change out of necessity. You're not resistant to change, and I don't notice you spend a lot of time quantifying the amount of that change. You just know that change is required.
Do you have an identity as a team yet?
Yeah, 6-6, and I don't like it.
Mike, you talk openly about building your team in the offseason to deal with the AFC North a lot of times. How did what happened at the end of last season in Baltimore impact the way you went about constructing this team this year?
The acquisition of bigs, you saw our emphasis in the draft around big people, fortifying our depth in that area. And certainly it's been required. We've certainly had some attrition in that area. Dean Lowry, Loudermilk, and Derek Harmon has missed a couple of stretches. And so that depth with young people like YA and O and others, man, is significant. You can't run out of bigs. If you run out of bigs in AFC North ball, you're running on the beach, certainly.
Mike, going back to identity, what have you identified on offense and defense as things that you guys do well that you can rely on when things are going off the rails?
I'm sorry?
What have you identified on offense that you, as a team, do well that you can fall back on, that you can rely on?
We're very good at third and manageable. I think we might be tops in the league at 3rd and 3 or less. I don't check some of those statistics. I generally focus on the things that we need to improve upon. But we've been really good at third and manageable. And so if we work to stay in those down and distances, we give ourselves a chance to possess the ball more than we have, as an example. Defensively, we certainly have done a nice job in general at taking the ball away culturally. We know what a big component of the game that is. And so what can we do to fortify that component of our game again this week to make sure it's a aspect of our portfolio as we work to engineer victory, just to name a few. But again, when you're trying to be great, when you're trying to win games this week, you better be focused on things that you need to fix first and foremost and not seeking comfort relative to the things that you do well or you've done well.
Slay was a healthy scratch on Sunday. Does he have an opportunity to earn his way back on the field, or what went into that decision?
Really it was less about Slay and it was more about getting an opportunity to see Asante Samuels. He's a global NFL starter type who's been on our practice squad. This time of year is attrition sets in, you step into stadiums week in and week out, things happen, and we certainly wanted to have an opportunity to see him in stadium before we maybe had to make a decision on him, before someone else forced our hand regarding decisions. And so it was about that for us. Slay has missed some time due to a variety of injuries and so forth. And it was about getting a look at that guy that started a lot of games in this league. And we did. And we liked some of the things that we saw. And we'll make decisions about how we divide the labor up a little later in the week.
You said Rodgers is questionable. Who do you call on if he's out? Is it Rudolph? Howard?
I didn't say he was questionable. I said you could describe him as questionable at this point in the week. And by that, I mean his participation might be limited at the early portions of the week. And I really hadn't pondered not having them at this juncture.
Mike,
Mike, there were a number of leaders who said players need to look in the mirror. Do you feel like you have a group of guys that will look in the mirror that will take ownership?
I do. And because I think the basic premise that we start with in terms of assembling a group, and it's whether it's draft or free agency, is we like good men who happen to be good at football. And then secondarily, we like men who absolutely love football. And we believe that those two attributes really lend itself to the discussion that you asked about. The ability to assess, the ability to absorb, the ability to dig in when things get difficult, I think are a little bit easier when you got good people and we got people that love what it is they do.
Who are the younger guys on your roster that fall into that category?
Most of them.
Mike, Robert Jones, and how do you feel like Andrews Pete played and will he start again?
I thought he was solid and he will.
What did you find out
about Broderick's out for the year? Is that the
He's on IR, and so he's out for this week.
What did you find out about Broderick's injury? Because at this time last week, he was just a week-to-week thing.
It still can be characterized as week-to-week. I don't know that I have any definitive information on the extent or the length of the timeout, and so I don't want to give you guys misinformation. When I get it, I'll give it to you.
But certainly you can classify him as
out because of, obviously he's on IR.
When the negativity presents itself in the stadium in the way that it did on Sunday, your players are not immune to it. As a coach, do you want them to lean into that a little bit, or do you try to or you want them to block it out?
I don't know that you have meetings regarding it. You know, I don't think any of us prepare for failure. Sometimes you're faced with it and you deal with it, but I don't know that we strategically plan for negativity in the ways that you ask.
Anyone else? All right.
Appreciate it.
Well, that was mind-numbing, was it not, Limits? That was one of the most boring ones of the year.
Nah, it picked up steam in the last 10 minutes, Joe.
I mean,
I thought significantly.
The Graves
digger
came up off the top rope. Him and Benzie were trading shots, weren't they?
Wow. The identity, it's 6-6, and I don't like it. Tomlin brought out that they're running on the beach.
Did he? I didn't even hear that part. I think I fell asleep.
I was surprised. He actually acknowledged Brooke Pryor by name, I think, for the first time ever. He said, referring to Brooke's question. I was like, whoa.
But that's the most interesting thing that happens. It was boring. However, there were a few moments. You're right.
Well, one other thing I took away is, how about Tomlin was asked, what are you good at on offense? And then he went back to saying,
and
he said, our defense takes the ball away. Mike, that wasn't the question. The question was about your offense.
Third and manageable. Here's the part that stood out to me was one of the very first things he said. I think that's what stands out from the, he was asked about, the fire Tomlin chants. That was a pretty good answer, I thought. He said, in general, I agree with them. Not to fire him, of course, but that we're supposed to be entertaining. When you're not, when we're not, you have a right to be frustrated. I like that answer. But here's what stood out to me above anything else. Quick assessment of our last performance, he said. We played 30 minutes of acceptable football and then blah, blah, blah. Wait, the first half was acceptable? They only ran 22 plays for 87 yards with 33 yards rushing. They had 87 yards of offense. How was that acceptable? Defensively, I know they got a couple turnovers, but they gave up 175 yards and 125 yards rushing in 20 minutes of time of possession in the first half. That first half was acceptable football, Limits. I'd hate to see unacceptable football, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't know where they continue to have a streak of, what is it now, close to 60 games in a row where they've scored
61.
Seven points or fewer in the first quarter?
CBS said only one team in history has done that more times than the Steelers. It's embarrassing. How in the world is that acceptable, and I quote, acceptable football? Let's talk to Brian Batko about all of this coming up.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What an eventful day so far, huh, Joe?
I thought you ordered a pizza. Where is it? I'm paying for it, right?
It hasn't arrived yet. They told me...
It's over an hour ago, limits.
They told me the delivery time, and then in the text that I received, it was a lot later than they said.
Is Brian here?
Yeah, he's here.
All right, let's go to Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. The Batconian mongoose all bundled up in front of his library at home. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you?
I've never been better.
I'm
doing
sorry,
well.
Your pizza hasn't arrived yet.
That's all right.
Brian looks so cold. He's look like, you know, he's ready for a bobsled.
He actually looks warm, if you ask me. He's all bundled up in a winter's cap and a sweater. Are you cold or warm there, Brian?
Well, I'm always cold, which is why I'm dressed particularly warm, even inside my own house. I'm not moving off 72 from the thermostat.
My dad never went above 65, even though we were in Buffalo with storms a lot worse than this. Can you reach behind you up to the library and just grab a book randomly and tell us what it is? I like that exercise, right? Limits, don't you?
Yeah, this is always fun.
Gives us insight into Brian's background. What do we got?
Luckiest girl alive. I think it's about Mrs. Starkey. There we go.
What's it about, Brian? Now I'm really curious. The luckiest girl alive is doing what?
It's by Jessica Knoll, New York Times bestseller. Obviously, this is my wife's book, but the big headline here says her perfect life is a perfect lie.
Oh, boy.
Soon to be a film from Reese Witherspoon, but how long ago did my wife buy this? Is it a film already? I don't know.
Great question. All right, Brian. It was a rather, I thought, uneventful news conference, but there were some very interesting...
It was long, wasn't it? Was that one of the longer ones?
Yeah, it was long, and it was this constant search for philosophical underpinnings. It was really boring.
I think I know why.
Huh? Why?
I think I know why. I have a theory on that, because after what we all saw and heard Sunday, it almost would seem silly to go in there and ask about the play of Andrews Pete. And
although, you know, somebody did things.
Well, no, I think it's a good question, but my point is it was such a flashbulb moment in Steelers history that it felt like asking about other things was almost not of the moment. And yet you can't just belabor the point, because there's still only so much that Mike Tomlin is going to say. I thought we got humble Mike Tomlin, relatable Mike Tomlin, down-to-earth Mike Tomlin, because of how much fire he's probably under at the moment.
See, I didn't. I thought we got sort of trite boring. I'll entertain your questions, but I won't really entertain them. I'll just give the most, you know, roundabout, boring answer possible, Mike Tomlin. A couple of weeks ago, we had off-the-cuff entertaining Tomlin. That's my favorite one. And combative Tomlin is my second one.
Yeah, I feel like there's always a fine line there between combative Tomlin, which you can see after a bad game or a loss, and then what we got today with, you know, referencing the third person journalists in the room about the stories that they write and our profession, and this very much like, hey, we're all working together in the same ecosystem and we have parallels in our lives thing. That's a Tomlin you don't see all that often, in my opinion. And I think Limit said it right when I jumped on here. It was like he out of nowhere just like made reference to Brooke and the questions that she consistently asks. It was like a humanizing moment from him up there.
I'll buy that. I'll buy that. And that's why we pay you the money that we do. How about when Brooke came back with, I transcribe differently if I've written a bad story. What's your strategy, Brian? Not that you've ever written a bad one. I didn't mean to imply that.
I'm sure they're all bad, but I'll throw Brooke under the bus for a second. I'm pretty sure Brooke uses one of those transcription apps, one of those services.
Does
usually.
She now? So all right.
Maybe if she feels like she's in a rut, you know, she doesn't use the app, but I can't really give Brooke crap for that because when she sends them to me, I'm always grateful. So
by the way, Brian, yeah. And this is off the beaten path, although it's kind of good. On this topic. I wasn't aware of this whole, what's it called, Limits? The thing that writes for people.
ChatGPT.
ChatGPT and whatever other AI things are out there. So my wife shows me this story the other day that she had them do.
Uh-huh.
Whoever they are. I don't know who they are.
Just the computer.
And then I said, hold on a second. Like, all right, I'm trying not to pay attention to AI in any respect, but I know I'm not going to get away with that in the long run.
Right.
So Brian, I type in, yeah. she gives me the form on her computer. I type in like 8 facts about a mythical football game. And I tell the Snapchat, what's it called, Limits?
It's called ChatGPT.
ChatGPT to write a funny story using those chats, and what they wrote was good. It was like better, I hate to say this, but better than a lot of the students wrote when I taught writing in college. And that,
yeah.
It was jarring to the point of like, I had to sit back and say, oh my God, like
it
this.
It is dystopian. And I'll do you one better, Joe. I just asked ChatGPT, what do you think of Joe Starkey?
Mm.
Do you want to know what it said?
He said, wow, yeah. He had a great call when the band was on the field.
Yeah, they're going to go with the other Joe Starkey, but go ahead.
No, they said, if you mean Joe Starkey, the Pittsburgh sports columnist radio host, here's the vibe most people have of him. He's smart, plugged in, and not afraid to poke the bear. He'll ask the uncomfortable Steelers or Penguins questions that other writers might tiptoe around. He leans toward being skeptical of front offices and coaches, which fans either love or get annoyed by. He's also got a very distinct Starkey tone, dry, a little contrarian, sometimes sarcastic, and often genuinely funny.
Wow. Joe, that's
I can't believe
that's
that my wife
similar.
I can't believe my wife does that. She writes that.
Mm.
That's unbelievable. That's frightening, Brian.
Yeah, I've done it for myself too, and it's a little bit uncomfortable to even confront.
Can you try Austin? Can you try Chris Muller while we're doing this? Just try it.
Okay.
What all people right. think of, you know how to spell his name.
Yeah,
this
don't
is
look
gonna,
me
this
up.
This is going to be please fabulous.
Look up Malzy.
This is going to be fabulous.
I put, what about Chris Muller, a.k.a. Malzy? Let's see. It says he has a pretty well-defined persona in Pittsburgh sports media. What people generally think of him, sharp, witty, and quick. He's one of the faster minds on local radio. He can pivot from serious analysis to a joke in about 2 seconds.
That's true.
More level-headed than some hosts, but he's not afraid to fire off a spicy take when the Steelers or Penguins deserve one, and then brings a sarcastic, self-aware vibe. He'll roast the team. He'll also roast himself or Pittsburgh sports culture when it's deserved.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty accurate.
They don't mention that he's bald? I can't believe that comes up that quickly. Like something as, I don't know what the word is, nuanced, to borrow a Malzy word. That's frightening, Brian. It is.
It is.
Are we all going to be replaced by this?
Possibly. These are big, scary questions that go beyond the Mike Tomlin news conference wrap-up segment.
Are you real? Is it really you sitting in front of that library? Is it him,
it's
Limits?
Me. They actually have a thing where they can read the things to you in a voice as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of frightening layers to it.
Is that AI?
The irony here is that Bob is not real. There's only a mannequin.
That's AI Bob.
Yeah. All right.
Just start plugging the stuff into that and have it read it in Bob's voice or whatever, and you won't need me anymore. You won't need any other guests on the days that Pomp's not here.
I know. The ramifications, I can't even comprehend. Speaking of writers and struggles and Mike Tomlin, the Gravesdigger and Tomlin had an unbelievable back and forth.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.